Madding had already begun gesturing at his companions, directing them to search around the house and nearby streets. Keter stayed nearby, as did Paitia. Madding had no real need of bodyguards, but I did. And he had probably directed one of them to spirit me away if it came down to any sort of fight. "I'm going to raise that white hall to the ground," he snarled, his human shape flickering blue as he pushed me back toward the front door. "If they've dared to attack my house, my people." "He wasn't after Shiny," I murmured, realizing it belatedly. I stopped, clutching Madding's arm to get his attention. "Mad, that man wasn't after Shiny at all. If he was an order keeper, he would have wanted Shiny, wouldn't he? They know he killed the ones in South Root." The more I thought about it, the more certain I became. I don't think that man was an order keeper at all. I didn't mistake the swift, startled look that crossed Madding's face. He exchanged a glance with Keter, who looked equally alarmed. Keter then turned to look at one of the mortals, the scrivener. She nodded and knelt, taking a pad of paper out of her jacket and uncapping a thin ink brush.
"I'll go see too," said the middle-aged godling, vanishing.
Madding pulled me against him, holding me firm with one arm and keeping the other free in case of trouble. I tried to feel safe there, in the arms of one god and protected by half a dozen others, but all my nerves were a jangle, and the panic would not fade. I could not push aside the feeling that something was wrong, very wrong, that someone was watching, that something was going to happen. I felt it with every ounce of intuition that I possessed.
"There's no body," said Paitia, coming over to us.
Beyond him, I could see other godlings winking in and out of sight about the street, on nearby windowsills, on the edge of a roof.
"Enough blood that there should be, but nothing. Not even, parts."
"Is it?" I had to struggle to be heard, half muffled against Madding's shoulder.
"It is."
Paitia glanced back at the racing dog, who was sniffing at the spot now. The dog looked up and nodded in solemn confirmation.
"No doubt about it. The blood's just splattered about. It fell from above. But he didn't land here."
Madding muttered something in his own tongue, then switched to Cenobite so I would understand.
"There must have been a weapon, or magic, as you said."
He looked down at me, scowling in irritation.
"He's powerless now. He must have known he couldn't take a scrivener, if that's what the man was. On the roof of a house full of godlings, why didn't he just call for help? Stubborn bastard."
I closed my eyes and leaned against Madding, suddenly weary. I could have called for help too, I realized belatedly, though I'd been too frightened to think of doing so. Shiny, however, hadn't been afraid at all. He hadn't wanted help. He'd done it again, charged into a dangerous situation, spent his life like currency, all so he could have a taste of his old power. It had been for my benefit this time, but did that really make it better? Godlings respected life, including their own. They were just as immortal, but they at least tried to defend themselves or evade blows when attacked. When they fought, they tried not to kill, while Shiny slaughtered even his own kin. "The Night Lord should have just killed him," I said, filled with sudden bitterness. Madding raised his eyebrows in surprise, but I shook my head. "There's something wrong with him, Mad. I always suspected it, but tonight..."